This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Get all the buttons pushed correctly, and we are live from Allegri Farm Market in Daphne, and I'd love for you to come out and see us and to tell us more about why you should do that. Vince Allegri, the namesake here, Allegri Farm Markets, thanks for having us out.
Thank you very much for being here.
Let's talk about the fact that your parking lot, when I pulled in today, is just wide open, busy. People are walking out with the best-looking produce. I think it must be corn time.
It is corn time. We brought in several bags already this morning, and we've been picking this morning. As a matter of fact, the crew down there is still sacking under the shade tree of the pecan right this second.
Now, people talk about fresh. Now, they're picking right now.
Well, we've already brought some up this morning that was picked this morning.
I mean, that's fresh.
That's fresh. And then they're packing. We got two trailer loads down there we've pulled since then, and they're packing it right now. We'll start bringing it up as they call for it.
Oh, wow. Wow, this is as good. That's as good as it gets. I mean, that's when people say, well, I've got some fresh corn. It was in the field this morning.
I always make the comment a lot of times it slept in the field last night.
And it's now here at Allegri Farm Market. So let's talk about all, you know, corn is one part of it, but I'm looking out. The selection of produce is unbelievable, Vince.
Well, thank you. We just brought in a load of cantaloupes just picked, and we brought in 90 pounds of okra we just got through picking.
Oh, man.
And we pick okra every other day right now, and I would imagine within the next week we'll be bringing in 300 or 400 pounds a day.
Holy cow.
And the next thing that nobody knows that we've done yet this morning, we started picking butter beans, and they're down there shelling them right now.
Oh, my goodness.
We picked speckle and white butter beans just about an hour ago, and I left them with the shellers, and they're shelling them and cleaning them, and when a little bit, I'm going to run down and pick up a couple cooler fulls.
This is what I like. I mean, you got your hands out there in the fields, in the harvest end. You're here where we can come buy this. Y'all been doing this for how long?
Well, we built this market in 2003, and that's what we kind of pride ourselves in is we're the farm and the market. We try to grow everything we can. I mean, you know, for yellow squash and the zucchinis and the cucumbers and the eggplant, and we have some different kind of eggplants over there. It's kind of fun to try something that's a little not every you see every day on the shelf,
right?
And so, you know, just different things and bell peppers, and I have a trouble getting them to turn red or yellow because they start out green and they're so big and pretty. I just go and pick them, bring them up here and sell them green.
Right. And looking at the selection, you obviously know, because I'm looking at the people shopping right now, over these years, what your customers want. You know, when you're growing it, you know what they want to buy.
We know, and sweet corn's a draw card. That is what brings the, and once they know that we're picking corn, well, that's what they're here for. And we have customers, I think, come out here at least 5 days a week and pick up enough for dinner.
It's so good. It's good anytime, but when it's this kind of fresh, this is as good as it gets.
Right. Yeah. Only person that gets any fresher is myself. Every day when I leave the field, I grab probably 2-3 ears and go put them in the microwave.
Yes.
And that's about. I kind of get a little edge on everybody because every day I get to pick my own.
It's good hearing you say the microwave thing because there's always, you know, the debate. Like, I microwave it too, but some people say, oh, that's not the best for flavor. Or so. This is the man who's picking it, and you're microwaving it too.
Well, you got to understand, it's about 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, and I don't want
to. You're done.
I'm done. I'm through. I go in and shug it, put some saran wrap over it, put it in there for 2 minutes for an ear, and I have an ear of corn ready.
I do the same thing, except I have to come get it from you first, and then I do it.
Yeah.
All right. Tell folks where you are. They have not been here before. They got to come by.
We're at the intersection of 181 and 64.
Okay.
And we're the big green building sitting right here on the corner.
And you people in what hours open Monday
we're
through Friday?
Monday through Friday to the public, we're open. Monday through Saturday to the public, we're open from 8 a.m. to 6.
Okay.
On Sunday, we're open from 9 to 5.
So.
And we're closed about 4 days out of the year. That's
Vince,
it.
Vince. So between your work here in the store and what I know what it takes on the ag side to keep all this stuff planted, do you sleep at all? Do
you know, really, I've learned to get it on about 6 hours a night. And if I get any less than that, everybody knows that I'm kind of grumpy.
So you're doing it. Listen, y'all come by now. Should we offer some people?
Sure.
Okay, now listen to what Vince has given me. These are certificates here, gift certificates for a dozen ears of Silver King corn. Next person, stop on by and see me out in front of the FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Command Unit. We'll hook you up with these certificates for a dozen. You got ears of Silver King. Come by and get those 12 right now. You'll see us here at Allegri Farm Markets. And we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on a Monday, by the way, too. If you come out front, so I'm inside of Allegory Farm Markets, but if you come out front, Monroe Sausage Cooking, they're cooking sausage dogs here, and so if you'll come on by to get a sausage dog, that's where I've moved the rest of the corn certificates for that Silver King out. Just ask for Celeste at the Monroe Sausage Tent out front. Come get a sausage dog, grab that certificate, come in and check out the full selection beyond the corn here at Allegory Farm Markets. I just heard, by the way, Vince on the telephone. I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but he was already calling for corn reinforcements. So more Silver King on the way as you're getting the freshest produce. Like he said, slept in the field last night, and it's for us to buy today. All right, let's check in with our buddy John Sharp from AL.com. One of the stories we talked about this morning is a story we've talked about many times over the years, but it's back. Amtrak Passenger Service Railway to Mobile. John, thanks for joining us. Thanks for that story on Friday.
Yeah, Sean, it's nice to join you as well.
You know, this is a how many times have you and I talked about possibility of restoration of passenger rail service in the city of Mobile?
We've talked a lot about this, but there's a big difference this time. It's actually got some money, real money attached to it. So that's the big difference between the previous times we've chatted about this and this time.
But there has been the question of, in the past, there could be some money, there could be some federal money, but there would have to be some kind of local match, and that's happening again this year. Remember, we talked about it last year with the governor. Now this year, back to the governor having to come up with some state money to make this thing work the way they're proposing it.
Yeah, you're correct. It falls pretty much in the governor's lap here. We're talking about $2.7 million, roughly. Speaking that's the state appropriation, the state requirement to help do the necessary upgrades to the rail tracks between downtown Mobile and the Alabama-Mississippi state line for that portion of the Amtrak service to return into Alabama. I mean, it's going to go from the target right now is from Mobile to New Orleans, so you would have Mississippi and Louisiana involved as well.
Now, you talk about, and I read in your story over at AL.com, talk about this improvement from downtown Mobile to the state line. If not, the trains would be limited in speed. Did you talk to anybody? I mean, what actually changes that? Is it new metal? Is it new? I mean, how do you improve it to make them be able to go faster? What needs done?
Yeah. The specifics about that I really don't know right now, but my understanding is that whatever improvements they do would improve the speed into Mobile, into the service. I guess there might be some safety issues along that line that, you know, if the train was going at the same rate of speed it was going through Mississippi with whatever upgrades they're planning on there, they want to continue with that type of speed into Alabama before it reaches downtown Mobile. It does not include any improvements through the port. That's one thing that the folks over at Southern Rail Commission want to make known, is that the service would stop in downtown Mobile, although there are concerns still about the impact to the freight traffic that heads into the port. So those are kind of the issues that involved right now.
Yeah, so that $2.7 million that ask that's sitting on Governor Ivey's desk, that would be for some sort of physical infrastructure change or improvement between the state line and downtown.
You're correct, yeah. And as far as, you know, how that's itemized out, you know, at this point, I just don't know. This just kind of resurfaced on Friday. You know, it's been kind of a dormant issue since the fall. Mm-hmm. And if you could, you know, go back in time a little bit, the governor, it was before the election, I know that much. It was September, October, and I know that Tuscaloosa and the mayor, Walt Maddox, kind of pounced on the issue at the time as well. But the governor said that, you know, that we just don't have the funding right now for this. Well, welcome to revisit this issue later on, and it just kind of quieted right then and there. The Mississippi governor, Phil Bryant, as well at that time, was also hesitant as far as the state of Mississippi's appropriation. Things have changed since then for Mississippi, but they have apparently not in Alabama, so that there are still some concerns here that no longer exist in Mississippi.
Now, at one point, too, we were talking about the train and passenger service also going the other way to the east. Remember the discussions about, hey, could you get on a train and leave from here and end up in Orlando, take the kids to Disney or something like that? But that's not this discussion. This is all westward looking.
That's correct. And from what I've been told, in order to get this, I think ultimately the goal is to connect with Jacksonville, Florida, and you know, which would also lead to a connection potentially to Orlando with this particular route. But this particular discussion is just from Mobile to New Orleans. And also something that I think sometimes gets overlooked is that this would be basically four trips a day running. You'd have a trip leaving out of Mobile in the morning and then another one train leaving out of New Orleans. It would crisscross. One would go into New Orleans, the other one would go into Mobile, and then you'd have the return trip back in the afternoon. So this would be not, essentially, it would not, I know a lot of comparisons come up with the Sunset Limited, but from what I've been told, it'd be a totally different service.
Now, if you're just joining us, talking to John Sharp with AL.com and talking about this proposed rail service, if four stops in Mississippi, am I correct?
That's correct. You'd have Pascagoula, Biloxi, Gulfport, and Bay St. Louis.
Now, the question, we bounced this around a lot this morning on the show. Do you have any idea, have they given us any idea, how long a train stop is? Like, if you pull into Bay St. Louis, how long the train sits there?
No, I don't know. I don't know at this point how long the train sits there. Probably similar to, you know, what we experience on Amtrak elsewhere. I just, at this point, I don't know. I think, you know, my understanding is the focus on improving this line would be, you know, to make sure it's efficient. I don't think that the Southern Rail Commission is putting all their eggs in this basket, essentially, to see a system that would be, I know that, I think you mentioned this morning, you know, it could be a 4 or 5 hour trip to New Orleans.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I don't know it.
Nobody would take it.
Yeah, I'm just asking. That's interesting. I mean, I have no idea what it would be, but, you know, depending on how long the train... You know, I think if you keep this, I think people would say, hey, man, if this is another hour more than driving or even an hour and a half, you might get some people that would use it for weekday travel, let alone on weekends. But if it starts going much over that, don't you think there'll be a lot of people that go, yeah, you know, I like the romance of the train, but I need to get there and get back.
Yeah, certainly. So one thing, and I had a conversation with a member of the Southern Rail Commission today from Mississippi. He's been on the Rail Commission about a decade now, and he told me that one thing that they looked at is in New Orleans, they've seen a sudden surge of foreign travelers coming to the city, and they think that they can, you know, try and with very limited, that they can try and get more passenger service from New Orleans to Mobile or into Mississippi for the foreign travelers that have, you know, are flying into New Orleans. So, that they think they can capture a little bit more of that market. And another thing of interest, too, on this particular route is that there's been some talks about cities like Ocean Springs, even the Brooklyn, that there could be stops along the way. This would be a much more, it wouldn't be a kind of international type of or national type of train service. It would be more localized, where you'd have stops. Say, for instance, if Ocean Springs is holding their art festival, that, you know, they could potentially have the train stop there. Passengers from Mobile can get out and spend the day there and wait for the train to come back in the afternoon. So, you know, there are some differences in this particular route that they're looking at it right now. And they're trying to mirror it, from my understanding, with a service that's operated up in the state of Maine, between Maine and Boston. And there's a very similar train service that's operated up there that they're looking at replicating somewhat down here.
Now, John Sharp from AL.com, we're talking about this train. Let's go one more thing here. So what is the actual, you're talking about the making the stops. You and I talked about this in the past. Does this include any kind of infrastructure for the stop in Mobile? I mean, is it a platform? Is it a ticket station? What is that have to be financed by the state, by the city? Who pays for that?
Right now, the city, they spent $125,000 and they hired a company called Mott MacDonald, and they're in the process of designing whatever that might be. I've asked today whether or not that project has been completed yet. I think the contract was signed a little over a year ago, or a little less than a year ago. And I'm still waiting on that answer. Perhaps we'll get it tomorrow at the council meeting. But, yeah, right now the ball's in the city's court with regards to the train station. Again, they signed a $125,000 design agreement with this company, and they're going to come up with whatever, you know, would work there. And they've been looking. We'll find out exactly where they're looking at. But they're looking at around Cooper Riverside Park, that vicinity. You know, similar to where the old train station used to be. And so, I don't know. That could be just a simple flat. And you know, you talk to the folks at the Southern Rail Commission. They seem to be satisfied. It doesn't have to be some sort of elaborate building that draws. That could be potentially very expensive like one of these intermodal facilities. I haven't heard anything along those lines, though. It could be a very simple type of structure.
All right. So yeah, the one level, the federal grant money, then you come down to the $2.7 million that would be the state's portion, at least doing this work on the rail between downtown and the Mississippi-Alabama state line, and then over whatever it is beyond what they've already put together for getting the drawings done for a facility here in Mobile. So it goes federal, biggest state, and then the city on for some portion of this.
You're correct, and I don't know how maybe the county might be asked to participate too in that. I just don't know yet. I think that's still, those are details that need to be worked out.
All right. And John, when we, you're saying you're looking for comment here from Alabama State Port Authority being an opponent here. What is the issue? I mean, what's the issue they have with this?
Well, they've experienced an uptick in freight rail over the years, and they're concerned about, the addition of passenger rail and how that might affect the business, the overall bottom line business, the port. Also, the port is in the process of, they received a significant boost from the Rebuild Alabama Infrastructure Act to go in there and dredge the shipping channel. And there's a lot of there's investment that's been made into the port. And I think the concern is whether or not, running the Amtrak trains again will interfere with any of that activity.
Yeah. I don't
that
know if they do traffic.
The overall concern there, and then there, I think there's some doubt on whether or not, how interested Mobile might be in this particular train. I mean, I think there's a lot of questions about that. But again, you talk to the folks at the Southern Rail Commission, and they think that this is something that we'll see increased interest because it's a completely different service, they say, than what folks have been used to in the past with the Sunset Limited.
All right. You can read more over at AL.com. John, as always, we appreciate it. People would reach out and find you on Twitter. Is that probably the best place, that and going straight to the website?
Yeah. Yep, both places, at JohnSharp99.
All right, John, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you, man.
All right, Sean. Thanks, man.
Bye. Coming right back. More of Midday Mobile, live from Allegri Farm Market in Daphne. The Silver King is hit. The corn is coming in as we're talking. We'll talk more about that with Vince when we return right here on Midday Mobile. Y'all stay close or come on by and see us. We'll load you up with some great produce and some FM Talk 106.5 goodies. Come on by.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
A big thank you to John Sharp. And it is a story that John and I have talked about many times over the years, and it's back, but in a little different form. And we asked that question this morning. I'd still love to hear from you as well. Let's say the trip is, 3.5 hours or less between Mobile and New Orleans. Do you go and get on passenger rail service to New Orleans, whether it be for business or pleasure? What kind of demand would there be for it? I talked about this morning. I love the idea of it, and maybe a couple times a year I'd go do it, take the family to New Orleans. But would you do it if you're somebody who runs that road anyway? I-10 going back and forth to New Orleans. What would the time frame from, this amount of hours and less that you would hop on a train instead of taking a car? We'll take some calls on that. And reminder, we're at Allegri Farm Market in Daphne as literally the corn is coming in out of the fields. Vince, is you just watching this, you got it coming from the fields, coming here to the shop. Remind folks where we are too.
We're at the intersection of 181 and 64.
Okay. And hours today?
Hours today are from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m.
All right, and that's the same the whole week long?
Including Saturday.
And then you're open on Sunday, too.
Sunday, 9 to 5.
This time of year, I mean, this is, you're getting pulled both ways. You have corn coming ready every day to harvest, and then you've got people waiting for you here at the store.
Well, that, and we have several things ready to be harvested every day. From
how do you time that? Can I, for a second, for in deference to the rest of the audience, y'all hold on a second. Let's just talk ag. How do you time everything to do this?
What, time it to get it? Come
yeah,
on.
How, when you're, many, you're planting, I'm looking at your produce. You've got this timed.
Many years of experience with the sweet corn and other things because you're going to plant stronger plantings to hit like Father's Day weekends next weekend. So we had to have an abundance to hit that. Same with 4th of July. We have to hit a certain date. Now, Mother Nature can change that.
Yes,
45 days, any direction, getting ready. So we plant both sides of that window
okay.
to make sure. Sometimes we come in a little too quick with part of it.
Right.
That's just the nature of the beast.
So you say, well, I got a 90-day maturity or whatever, and you back right. it off. But you're not just saying June. You're not just saying July. You're saying Father's Day weekend. You're saying Independence Day weekend.
People don't realize, but corn, when it's first planted and you plant in the 1st of February, it might take 118, 120 days to make that crop. The corn that you planted the end of May, it'll make in 80 days because of the sunlight. The days
so
are longer.
You're always,
it's just years of experience. There's a little mark on my calendar every year. Let's go plant 4th of July corn.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Because like, I know that being around it my whole life, people would say, well, this will be something for June or something for July or something later. But you're getting down to the holidays, the given weekends. This is awesome.
I really hope I don't miss that big selection of Jubilee watermelons I have planted for the 4th.
Wow.
I'm planning strong to hit the 4th.
Hey, what is the secret on, there's so many different varieties of watermelons
sure.
out there. Why one versus the other? Why Jubilee versus Diamondback versus?
The main market here nowadays want a seedless melon. And your average everyday person, they don't want a huge melon. They can't get it in the refrigerator if they cut it in half. Now, when you hit these holiday weekends, they're picnicking and whatnot. Oh, yeah, that big 40-pounder looks good and rolling down the back of the car.
Right.
But all during the week, and when it's not that season, the seedless will outsell them 10 to 1.
Huh.
But that's why I said, I'm joking with you. I do have a large planting of Jubilees, and they're made to hit just before the 4th because that's when we need a demand of big melons.
This is awesome because, I mean, we're talking farming, we're talking farm market, we're talking logistics, too, though. You're in the logistics business.
Well, it's kind of...
You thought you were in the growing stuff business.
I'm in the gambling business because this is a gambling
business. Hey, all farmers are in the gambling business. Let's also talk about, we talk about watermelon, we're talking about corn, but I'm looking around a huge selection of other produce as well. You said eggplants kind of experiment with that?
Well, I have certain different varieties of eggplants, just different colors, and it just makes... It looks good on the table. You got elongated one. You got one that looks like it reminds me of a little kid's balloon. You blow up and twist it. You can see them from here right now. And we have two like this right here.
Yeah, look at that one. Wow.
Yeah.
Let's get some pictures
but,
of this.
But it's just something different to grow.
And do you see more, I know you'll see more demand in produce in general, but there's the last 5-10 years, but let's say within the last 5 years, I watch people really pay attention to where their food comes from.
They do.
That's become a big deal. Instead of just saying, oh, I got some corn.
Right.
Oh, I got some.
Right.
They say, I got some Baldwin County corn.
Right.
I got some, I got watermelons from here. I got okra from there.
Right. I mean, that's true. People are really conscientious this day and time of where their produce is coming from and how it was treated. And it's like every bit of the produce that we pick, we've got a very large cooler to farm just for this market. And we pick it, and with an hour, I try to have it in that cooler if it's not coming directly here.
Wow.
Because you quicker you cool it down, the better it is for the long haul.
And this is versus, you don't know how long something's been kept elsewhere.
In the day years ago, farmers would pick their product that morning. They'd ride around the back of the truck all day before they deliver it to market the next morning.
Right.
Well, like I said, we're within, they're picking right beside the cooler. And as soon as they come in, if it doesn't head here, it heads in that cooler. And it's sitting in there at 38 degrees, and everybody's hot and sweaty, and they think they're going to like going in there.
Yeah.
After about 2 minutes, they're all running out.
I like those. It's funny as much. We've come full circle. This idea of, it used to be from family farms and gardens and people we knew. Mm-hmm. And the same thing is true here. All these years later, people are going, I want my food to come from somewhere I know.
Right here, yes.
All right. Once again, tell them we're right here as they come see us.
I think that's our niche here. We're raising every bit of this within 2 miles of this market that we raise.
2 miles.
And that's something that I think enables us to compete, is being able to bring it in here that day, that morning.
Y'all look at this produce, there's no doubt. We're coming right back. More, we are live at Allegri Farm Market in Daphne. This is Midday Mobile.